Hello, everyone. My name is Andrea Von Kampen, and I'm a singer-songwriter and also an aspiring podcaster. I decided to start a podcast so that I could interview my friends and dig into the world of women who are inspiring, creative, and successful. The guest list for this season includes artists, Broadway singers, bakers, business owners, nonprofit creators, filmmakers, actors, songwriters, illustrators, and so much more. Here's a sneak peek from a few of the episodes of my new podcast, It's My Party with Andrea Von Kampen. Take a listen to this first clip with award-winning baker, Angela Garbutz. One question I do have is this, like, baking space and, you know, this whole culture around this, do you feel like it's become a lot more equal between men and women, or is there still a lot of work to do when it comes to the baking world? I know that your business is so feminine forward, which is amazing. Was that on purpose to sort of try to balance the scales, or where did that come from?
That's great. I think that I'm so clued into, like, the female baking world right now and, like, the alternative baking world that I don't even notice what the men are doing, to be honest. I went to pastry school in 2008, and a couple of years before that, there was this, like, badass male pastry chef world, and they all had, like, full sleeves of tattoos. They had, like, pompadours. They were, like, the hot male chefs, and they were all in pastry. And so for a while, I didn't really even have any female kind of pastry chefs that I looked up to, and now I can't think of any male pastry chefs. So I definitely think it's becoming more equal. It's becoming more interesting. There's so many more people who are using, I mean, food is political, and food, I feel like, especially in the past 4 or 5 years, has become a way for people to express their heritage, their sexuality, their communities that they're from, their political beliefs. And so I feel like not only am I seeing more of, like, equality between genders, but I'm seeing a lot of more equality between, like, how people tell the story of their race and their culture and, like, more of who they are and where they're from in a lot of senses than I've seen before, which is really, really cool.
In this next clip, I sit down with my good friend Molly and discuss songwriting and touring. Anyways, let's start from the beginning, Molly. Did you always know you wanted to write songs for a living?
No. I didn't know that writing songs and touring the world was an option.
How so? How did you not know that was an option?
Music wasn't a career path that was prominent in my family or in my ancestry anywhere. And I never really thought about songs as little creations until I was in my teens and started taking a liking to some songs. I mean, honestly, my like early childhood, like the music that I listened to as a kid and a teenager was Christian music and worship music, church music.
So this like contemporary music, or is this more like hymns?
Yeah, contemporary music, which is nice. It's just kind of boring. None of them. I wish that I would have been exposed to hymns at an early age, but
yeah,
you know, whatever. But yeah, I never really thought of songs as these special little things that people pour their heart and soul into.
What was the song that made you realize that's what songs could be?
I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe a Mindy Smith song. She really struck me as remarkable and memorable. I heard her album One Moment More and just fell in love with every track. Hmm. Yeah.
That's so cool. I have to listen to that album. So what age was that, would you say?
I mean, that wasn't until like 20. I was 19 or 20.
Okay. So at that point, like 19, 20, are you in college at this point?
No, I didn't go to college.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That was a good decision.
Yeah, I feel good about it now.
Yeah, that's a really good decision. Nothing against college. It's just, you know, like wildly expensive and semi-useless.
It just sucks.
For the artist.
Yeah, nothing against it for sure.
But anyways, you skip college. What are you doing during the college years?
I worked at Starbucks.
Okay.
And lived with my parents and started dating a musician that I met through church. And I would go to his shows in the Atlanta area and in like the South Metro Atlanta area. And that's kind of, that was my first exposure. Thank
that's
you.
Cool.
To live music.
Yeah. Wow. And sort of like live music and not like a religious genre, just live music.
Right.
Like that's great.
A gig.
So then how do you get from there to 2011 writing ABBA-inspired songs?
It was mostly just the Lord.
Elena Gabby is an award-winning director and producer whose work has been featured in Tribeca Film Festival and Cannes Film Festival. So when you went to college, and I read that you went to Vassar, did you have an idea that, okay, I'm definitely going to major in film, you know, this is going to be the start of the rest of my life, or what did that look like?
Yeah, I went there. I when I decided to go to Vassar, it was actually like a conscious decision where I knew that my heart was in film, but I wasn't finished learning other things. So I thought about conservatory tracks and like Tisch or, you know, NYU or whatever. And then I just kind of really wanted a liberal arts education because films are about things. And I felt like having research skills and having more of a broad understanding of the world and different forms of art might help me. And, you know, I had, by the time I even applied to college, I had already made like so many films, you know, not good ones, but complete ones, like at least 10.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And like, what did those 10 films, like, what did those look like? By that point, did you have like pretty good camera technology that you were using, and did you have teams that you were working with, or like what did those look like?
No, it was like it was just like school projects that I could convert, you know, so it was like Beowulf, okay, book report, like that became a movie, you know, like, or
you I would know, love to see that.
It was pretty good. My friends, I'm still friends to this day with the people who played Beowulf and Umfrith and things in my basement. But, and then it was like documentaries, like Winter Bird Science Project or something. And then like senior year of high school, it was like, you know, dance culture in Brazil, where I was spending a month and, you know, and needed something to do. So I would just start filming my family members. And they would like, they liked being filmed and they like being on camera. So it just like, I just had subjects, and then I would go home and I would just like edit in my room forever. And then eventually it would be done. And I would show it to people. Mm-hmm.
So you get to college, and the point of college is sort of not to necessarily, you know, learn more specifically with film, but with like other things that will sort of complement film. Is that right?
That was my idea. Yeah. And
what
kind
were
of
those
worked.
Other things?
Yeah, it kind of.
I'm literally just curious.
Yeah. No, I learned, you know, I took like a lot of history classes and studio art, dance, not a lot of science, not a lot of math. I pretty much just did the requirements on those. And then I thought I was going to have like this whole broad thing. And then film just kind of like started taking over my life. And then you weren't even allowed to take film classes until you were a junior, like production classes. But then there was a loophole where, like, I figured out that the seniors needed people to do sound, and then they, like, let sophomores do sound for the seniors for the first time. And so it just went from there, and I totally was sucked into it, which was great and wonderful.
Jane Bruce is a singer-songwriter and actor. She made her Broadway debut in the Alanis Morissette musical Jagged Little Pill. During the pandemic, she appeared as a guest star on Law & Order SVU, and she released a full-length album, My Bed. Will you tell me, I think it was you that was telling me this story about you did a TV thing, but like the time period got messed up. Was that you?
Yes.
Will you tell
that
story?
Yes. Oh gosh, this was amazing. So I think it was my like second TV job. And again, there's the same sort of hierarchy with TV work and unions. And there's the SAG union, and there's a certain amount of jobs that you can take before you then have to join the union. And so there are certain productions and like shows that specifically look for those actors who are not yet in the union, so that, again, you don't have to pay them quite as much. And then those are the shows that maybe the production is like at a little different level, like it's not quite HBO, you know. And those jobs that I did were on the like Discovery ID channel, you know, these like investigative, like true crime reenactment type shows.
Love those. And
shows. Oh yeah. And this one was about H.H. Holmes, who had this like crazy murder castle in Chicago in the 1890s. And so I played like one of his victims who swoops in and is like with another man, but then I leave my husband to go with him, and then I get pregnant, and then he.
So then, of course, says, you deserve to die.
So then I deserve to die. Yeah. And I had a great, you know, death scene, murder scene. Very, very dramatic. And of course, we were not in a castle in Chicago. We were in a mansion in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from certain movie angles, magic. Movie magic, from certain angles, I could buy it. You know, I don't know. I actually don't even know that I ever watched it because I don't really like watching myself on film, but I should find it. The best part is because it was low budget, you know, they didn't have money for like wigs, right? And I had like roots. I have blonde hair and mm-hmm. the hair was not in great shape. You know, we had a little grow out. it was not a dye job from the 1890s. Right. You know, I was already, it was not long enough. Like we were already in a sticky spot, I would say. And the hair woman, bless her heart, she was so nice. And she thought that she had been hired for a job that was set in the 1980s.
It's so bad.
And had not done any research on the 1890s, which is really a different time. And so she would, and I, because in theater, you usually have to do your own hair and makeup. I have like a little bit of an understanding. And also I had done research on the time period, obviously, because I was like, I love to, you know, I get a job and I nerd out and, you know, do all my homework, whatever. And so we're on set and she would start doing something with my hair and I'd be like, oh, I don't know, did they do that? And I really lost this one battle with a claw clip, you know,
They're so in now. Yes. So
and
did you just do this murder mystery like in a hot pink scrunchie? I mean, like, and were the was the clothing 1890s? So it was sort of.
Yeah.
It sort of worked.
It. You know, I think.
You know what? We need to watch it. And then we need to evaluate.
Thank you so much for listening to the teaser trailer. Please like and subscribe, share with a friend, and we'll see you all next week for the first episode.